Hello everyone, welcome back to the IAS Podcast. In this podcast, Willa from IAS Netherlands will interview Stefan Niehoff from Krone, Germany. So they will discuss about smart farming with Krone, how smart machinery can support smart farming these days. So enjoy!
You can't build peace on empty stomachs.
Let's bring one and one together. I watch the world from your point of view.
Hi, Stefanio.
Hello.
Stefanio, right?
No, my name is Stefan Niehoff and she is Stefanie Brink. So.
Stefan Niehoff.
Genau, yeah.
I was like, Stefanio.
But Stefanio is a great name. I should be called
Stefanio.
Right? I like
it. Yeah, if you have some, probably Stefanio van Stefanie Hoof. Okay. Stefan, I'm happy to have you here to discuss with us about is it Krone or Krone?
The German pronunciation would be Krone.
Krone.
But of course, due to the fact that we are selling in more than 60 countries, many of them are speaking English. If they do the communication and with us, and therefore the English pronunciation Krone is also completely fine.
If it's Krone, it's fine?
Yeah.
Okay, Krone. So I'm Willa. So I'm currently studying climate studies in Wageningen University. And I'm now the manager and also the host of IAS Podcast. So today I invite you here to discuss a little bit about the smart farming with Krone. So at first, I want to, probably also listeners here want to know what is Krone itself. You can introduce a little bit about that.
Okay. At first, I would like to thank you for the invitation. My name is Stefan Niehoff. I work at the company Krone. Like you said, basically the company Krone consists out of two major parts. Mm-hmm. One part is the trailer business, as we call the blue part.
Okay.
And if you've ever been on a European motorway in a traffic jam, you could basically see that all the trailers around you were made by Krone. But I personally work at the other part of the Krone company, the so-called green part.
Green.
Where we build up-to-date agricultural machinery.
Okay.
But we don't work on every single part of agricultural machinery, but we focus intentionally on the specific part of these types of machines that you need to harvest green fodder for cows, for biogas and creation. So we are building mowers, rakes, tedders, round balers, square balers, loading wagons, forage harvesters, pellet making machines, transport wagons. So this is what we are building due to the fact of being a very specialized company. And we are located in Spelle.
Germany.
It's a small village in Lower Saxony. But to give you a basic idea of the location, it's like 4 kilometers to North Rhine-Westphalia and about 30 kilometers to the Netherlands. So basically, if you drive up from here, because we're currently in Bonn, if you drive north and you want to go to the North Sea, it's pretty much half the distance, I would say.
Okay.
So if you want to drive from here to the North Sea and half the distance, you feel like making a quick pit stop, just drop by at Krone and meet us at our factory.
Sounds like an interesting journey to Krone. Okay, so I read a little bit about Krone in your website actually, so I reach out that. So the company's 100 years, I think, more than 100 years, isn't
it? We are currently a little bit more than 100 years old. So the company was founded in 1906 by Bernhard Krone the first, and it's currently run by Bernhard Krone the fourth. So so basically it was run by the family Krone since the beginning, so family owned. But the main spokesperson has always been Bernhard Krone, but the first, second, third, and now fourth generation.
So, okay, back to agriculture. So the green session before to agriculture. What's actually Krone's mission? On that.
So if we take a look at, basically, we are working to make the life of the cow as pleasant as possible. So how can we do that? What does the cow need from us? On the one hand, we can help the cow to get some mm-hmm. high quality fodder. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. of course, we can also supply very soft material mm-hmm. for bedding, because this is what the contractors and the farmers need mm-hmm. to make the life of their cows as comfortable as mm-hmm. possible. And
cows welfare.
Yeah, and therefore we have to think, how can we help, or how can we enable the farmers mm-hmm. and contractors to make the life of the cow the best way it could mm-hmm. possibly be. And therefore mm-hmm. we need to make sure, okay, we need to be able to supply machines mm-hmm. when the harvest needs to be done. It needs to be done fast. Mm-hmm. So the windows to do that are shrinking down to, for example, climate change. Mm-hmm. So we need to be able to supply machines that mm-hmm. also have the throughput and the working width to get large areas of grass and corn done in a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we need to make sure that our machines are that reliable that they can run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week mm-hmm. when it's really crunch time. Because, for example, if you have a forage harvester mm-hmm. and you only use it to harvest corn, and you can only harvest corn like 4 weeks in a year, and mm-hmm. the rest of the year the harvester would be standing in a shed. And in these mm-hmm. 4 weeks, the harvester breaks down, and then it can't work for 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it basically lost more than half of the yearly and production. And therefore, we have to make sure, of course, mm-hmm. in the first place, our machines should break down as little as possible. But also, in a second thought, how can we make sure that if the machine breaks down, mm-hmm. and to be honest, it doesn't matter at the brand, at some point, all machinery can break down. Mm-hmm. There's always a little bit of wear, doesn't matter at the brand, but we have to make sure, okay, how can we make sure that everywhere on the world, we can supply spare parts as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. Everywhere in the world, we have qualified mechanics on hand mm-hmm. directly at the dealer. How can we make sure that the operator of the machine knows, okay, I have to set up my machine in this and this and this way mm-hmm. to make sure it runs as efficient as possible? Because basically nothing is as demotivating if you buy a new machine, you are excited mm-hmm. and you want to take it out on the field, and the machine has the potential just to be amazing in the field, but due to the fact that you are not quite sure how to set it up for the specific conditions, mm. the machine doesn't perform well as it could, and therefore you might not be that into that machine anymore. Mm. So this is just some pain points that could be erased quite easily if you are able to supply all the drivers with a training how to use these machines. Mm. So therefore, making sure that our customers are happy, the cows are happy, and therefore building high quality machines, making sure they're running, mm-hmm. and making sure that we have systems in place if they might ever break down, that you have technicians on hand, that you have spare parts on hand, just to make sure that, if they should break down, they're up and running as soon as possible, due to the fact that they can't only be used a certain amount of time per year. They, mm-hmm. in this time, they have to be running. And this is where we say, okay, at Krone, we want to make sure the farmers are happy, the contractors are happy, our dealers are happy, because if they are happy, they can make the life of the cow happy.
Mm-hmm. But is it specifically only for corn or other crops as well?
So the most important cultures for us are mm-hmm. grass and corn. Mm-hmm. But of course, we also do other types. For example, straw baling mm-hmm. is a very big part for Krone. Mm-hmm. And for example, if you want to use barley or wheat or rye as basis for a silage, mm-hmm. then you also can harvest that and with our machinery. And over the last year, mm-hmm. we also introduced a machinery that, for example, can directly take the straw off the field and directly transform it into straw pellets for mm-hmm. heating, for feeding, for bedding, any way you want to go. And of course, there are some smaller use cases for our machinery mm-hmm. as well. For example, agroforestry, if we want to use our forest harvester to harvest smaller trees, let's call it like that, mm-hmm. then you need a different header. We can help you find the supplier that can sell you the header. We can then sell you the forager. Mm-hmm. So we can make sure that your harvester, if you buy, let's say, the complete package, then over the winter months, then you can use the harvester just to harvest little trees. Then when the sun comes out and the grass starts growing, you can harvest that. And then coming corn season, you can harvest the corn. And before that, mm-hmm. the whole crop silage. So yes, special a machinery like a forest harvester, doesn't matter which brand. And you look at, these machines are always more like the expensive ones in for the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are able to make sure that these machines can run almost the entire year, it's of course very, or it makes it easier for the farmer just to get their money back over time.
Mm-hmm.
If you compare that to, okay, they bought the machine for basically the same price, but it can only run like 3 weeks per year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we want to go deep to our topic, which is smart farming. So how Krone supports smart farming these days?
So one part of us supporting this whole idea of smart farming is that we have to make sure that our machines themselves get smarter. So just to give you some types of examples, the most important machine would again be the forager, so that we can do an entire chemical analysis of the material that we're processing directly on the machine. So that the driver knows, okay, the corn that I'm now harvesting has this amount of dry matter, this amount of moisture. We can also check the material for starch, for protein, for crude ash, for crude fiber, ADF, NDF, you basically name it, so that we can do all this analysis directly on the machine. Just to check, okay, do we have to cut the corn a little bit longer, a little bit shorter? Do we have to add silage additives? That would be one way to make sure that the quality of the forage improves. But let's leave the forager aside a little bit, because that's basically our go-to a machine just for everything. The smaller machines, like for example the round balers, they are getting smarter as well. On the one side, if you take a look at data and creation, they can also measure the weight and the moisture content of the bales that they introduce. But they have also gotten smarter in a way that we think about how can we make the day-to-day life of the operator more easy. So for example, until now, the operator had to take a look out, okay, my baling chamber is filling up, okay, now I have to actively break, I have to shoot in the net, start the wrapping, I have to actively open the baling chamber, I have to wait for the bale to drop out, and then I have to start going again.
The operator is the user?
Yeah.
Okay.
The person riding the tractor. And we thought, how can we make the life of this person easier?
Yeah.
And so we introduced the called TIM, so Tractor Implement Management. And now our round baler is able to detect for itself, okay, my baling chamber is filling up, it's full, then it can send a signal to the tractor. Okay, tractor stops, so the round baler stops the tractor. Then it says, okay, I need some hydraulic oil from you, tractor. Then the tractor gives the oil, starts the bale wrapping. I need another oil, then it opens the baling chamber. And while all of these processes are going between the baler and the tractor, the driver just has to sit there and wait. And then the baling chamber opens, the bale is ejected, baling chamber closes again. And then we could also program that the tractor just starts going again, but due to safety reasons, this isn't a feature of TIM, because if the round baler stops the tractor, a person could go in front of the tractor. And we said, okay, the round baler doesn't know if there's a person standing in front of the tractor, therefore the farmer has to start driving again, because this is the one part we could do some automation in, but we won't, because it has to be safe.
Okay. So, of course, like farmers want to have more profit, right? How do you see this automation, this smart farming from Krone can help them increase their profit? As you say, of course, this needs investment, like a lot of money, right? Like $1 million for this machinery. So how or how long they can like get back their profit probably?
So basically, if you want to increase your profits, there are two ways of doing this. Either you need to make more money or you need to lower your costs.
Yeah.
Let's start by making more money.
Yeah.
You are a very qualified arable farmer. Your plants just have higher nutritional value.
Yeah.
How can you get more money for your plants if they have higher nutritional value? How can you prove that? We're basically going back to the sensor that can tell us, okay, how much nutritional value do I have in my corn? And can this enable me to sell for it for a higher price, for example?
Okay, so that helps the decision making or evaluation, the Krone roles.
Yeah, so this is a part of the evaluation.
Okay, so to better the next strategy of farmers that want to use.
Yeah, so basically, if you can analyze your whole arable farming and you can see that you are producing higher quality crops, you can sell them for a high price, and you get the information that you need to even improve your arable farming further over the coming years. So for example, if you take a small portion out of your field and you say, okay, let's do a little bit less of fertilizing and spraying just on this specific part and see what happens. Then of course you also, at the end of the year, need to be able to control, okay, I did a little bit less fertilizing, a little bit less spraying. How much did the yield go down, or did it go down at all? And therefore, you need to have very precise data from the harvester. Okay, if I can't find in my harvesting data the place where I applied less fertilizer, then I might apply less fertilizer over the entire field in the upcoming year. This is one part where we are active.
Yeah.
And of course, also the more important part, in my opinion, is reducing costs. And there, for example, we are working in several different ways. The first obvious one, let's call it like that, if you have a sensor that costs you around about 20,000 euros and you can use it not only on your forager, but also on your slurry tanker, then you don't have to buy two sensors, but only buy one, saves you 20,000 euros.
So it can be used for multiple. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, another part, for example, would be when we take a look at the isobus terminals. So back in the day, every, let's call it smart machinery, especially the not self-propelled ones, but the implements, they needed to have some sort of operating box so that you could tell the machine what to do while sitting on the cabin. Back in the day, every single machinery came with their own operating box. So if you bought a baler, a sprayer, a loading wagon, you name it, you basically had to buy like five or seven different operating boxes. But Krone was also one of the founding members of the CCI, the Competence Center Isobus.
And
they were currently working together with 40 different companies so that we can develop these terminals together by the Isobus standard, so that a farmer, for example, if they buy seven different machines and they all follow the Isobus standard, then they don't have to buy several seven different operating boxes, but they can just buy one Isobus terminal and run all the seven different implements and with that. So this also a part where we say, okay, this is a way to keep the cost down by having to buy less equipment. And the third way would be by saving time that the farmer needs to be working. A special use case for that would be the documentation. Like I said, most farmers, they go into farming because they like to work with the animals. They like to work with crops. This is what they want to do. If they would be very excited about sitting on a desk and doing paperwork, they probably wouldn't have been going into farming in the first place. So we said, okay, how can we adapt our machinery that they can collect all the data that needs to be documented themselves, send it to the office themselves, and then have a software in the office that can do all the necessary documentation themselves. So the farmer at the end of the days, so the farmer gets up very early, takes care of the animals, takes care of his family, takes care of the fields. And in the evening, farmers don't want to sit on a desk and do paperwork again, but just take out, for example, as the iPad, take a look at, okay, all this documentation has been done right. I just check it to make sure that it has been done right and just be done with it, just to have a little bit time to, if necessary, take better care of the field and the animals, or just have some free time, see friends, take care of the family as well. So just to make the life of the farmer as easy as possible. So I think this also plays a little bit in the way of saving costs by saving the precious time of the farming people.
How do you see this potential products in small holding land?
So in total, Krone builds around 240 different types of machines. Of course, if you ask us, we talk a lot about the forager because it's like the go-to machine when you talk about smart farming. But of course, if we focus on this very specific type of agricultural machinery, so the implements that you need to harvest grass and corn, and you build 200 different, or a lot more than 200 different machines to do that. Of course, we also have the small round baler that basically just needs to be towed. So every year, we get some pictures from the Amish people towing our round balers with some horses. And we also got small mowers, rakes, and tedders to supply to the farmers that have like a that have a tractor but with limited horsepower, of course, as well. Mm-hmm. So we do take a look at all the different use cases that we see around the world,
including like intercropping, probably. Like you have striped intercropping. This is, for example, corn. This is, they mix it with other legumes, for example. Mm. You also tailor to that need.
So for example, in this type, when we say we're basically talking about very small structured fields, let's put it this way, we would tailor our machines in a way that we would get the working width down quite a lot, so that we have maybe a mower that's just 2 meters wide, and that we can also angle, like for example, the tedders in a way that they spread the material away from the corners of the fields, more to the center of the fields. So basically, we would adapt our machines to the very small field structures which come along with intercropping. But if you would call that directly converting the machines to suit intercropping, it's more like we would adapt the machines to be able to work with small structured fields. Let's call it that way. And if then, for example, next to the small field is another small field with legumes or a street or a mountain, it's not that important, let's call it this way, because if we can tailor our machines so that they perfectly work in this very small area, just by minimizing the size, the power that they need, make it easy to operate, easy to maintain, I think this would be the way for us. Of course, other companies, for example, if we would supply a tractor, they could say, okay, we got these small fields, and then we have to be precisely on the edge, because if we leave half a meter on each side just for safety, that would be a large percentage of the field due to the fact that the total size of the field is quite small. So they, for example, would be very interested in having steering systems that you can, if you have quite a small field, work precisely to the edge of the field. But due to the fact that we mostly build implements, this is not something that would apply directly to us. But we would just make sure that we tailor our machines like we're already doing, that they can work on small fields just as way as on just as well as on big fields. So if you take a look at the total number of machines we're selling, of course, we're selling way more mowers, rakes, and tedders than square balers and self-propelled machines. But of course, if we're talking about smart farming, the go-to machine, of course, are the big machines. But that doesn't mean that we are not selling smaller machines by the tens of thousands as well.
Okay. It's super interesting because I didn't really like know more about machinery before, but this is this talk, I think it's easy for me to follow. And okay, to support the users, I saw that you have Micron Green, right?
Yes, Micron.Green is our customer, our online customer portal. So if you take a look at the process or the connection between the farmer or the contractor that's interested in buying a machine and Krone, it's not just that they go to our dealer and buy the machine and we deliver the machine and and that's it. It's quite a lot more complicated. So for example, if you think about investing in a round baler, at first you think about, okay, what could be interesting? So you need information about the machines. So at our online customer portal, you can find all the informations about the round balers that might be interesting for you. Then you might think about, okay, how much would this cost me? So we have a configuration tool that you can say, okay, this might be the right baler. How much will it cost me if I take this option and this option and this option? That you get a basic idea. And then, of course, the whole sales process would start. So you would negotiate with your dealer about the price. Then you get the machine. But you still need some contact points with Krone. Let's call it this way. So, for example, at some point, at first, you need a training how to operate this machine properly and operate it with this its maximum capacity in the field. This often requires some training. It's not that the machines are complicated, but it's just easier if a person just shows you one time, okay, you can set up this way and that way. And if you have this problem, it's often just, okay, turn that screw two times and the problem goes away. But you have to be shown one time just to know that. So if you want to book a training, that can also be done via a Micron.Green. Then you might be interested, for example, okay, I want to know where my machine currently is and what it is doing, so I want to track my own machine. That can also be done at Micron.Green. And of course, you might say, okay, I need some new software licenses. I want to upgrade my machine with new software. We can also buy that over Micron.Green, and if the machine is equipped with the telemetric unit, then we can directly activate over the air the software on your machine. And we also, yeah, you can get the standard software licenses that we offer, but we're also one of the first companies that enables you to basically buy more horsepower for your forage harvester just using your smartphone. And of course, at some point you might need spare parts. Then yeah, lists of spare parts can be very long. So what is the right spare part for your machinery?
So it's available on that apps.
So it's, let's put it this way. The app can tell you, okay, you've got that machine, then this is the right spare part for you. Of course, the machines are built to last as long as possible, but it would be quite naive to say, no, our machines will never break. So that would be just naive. So at some point, every machine wears down a little bit. It's just a part of having agricultural machinery. Of course, every manufacturer makes sure the machine lasts as long as somehow possible, but at some point, all machines need spare parts. All cars need some new brake pads at some point, some new tires. So some spare parts will be necessary over the lifetime span of machinery. And at Micron.Green, we can directly link you to the right spare part that you get the right part directly. Yeah. So basically, most touch points that you can have with your dealer, you can check online first. And yeah, it just offers you another touch point because the world is pretty huge, let's call it this way. Mm-hmm. And you might not always have a dealer close to you.
Yeah.
Of course, if you have a dealer that's locally available to you, and you know that dealer for many years, this should be your first point of contact. But at some point, we just realized there are parts of the world where the dealer network is not as dense like in Central Europe. And in these parts, we also want to offer all the services that you need to get the machine, have the machine working at its maximum capacity, and just be happy with the machine. And just to offer all these possibilities all over the world, this is where Micron.Green comes into play.
Yeah, so this app supports customers from planning before buying and then also training how to use that. And of course, in the end, when they need something to pair with their machinery, something like that.
Yeah, so a machine tracking. So basically, Micron.Green is the support tool of choice for every corner a machine owner in the world, due to the fact that owning a machine takes a little bit more contact with the manufacturer than just buying it from the dealer, if you want to do it right. Of course, you can just buy it from a dealer and then the manufacturer could say, here, run with it and be happy, but that's not the way that Krone wants to do it. We want to interact with the customer, get the feedback, get to know it, maybe learn something from it.
Yeah. So how to reach Krone more in addition of Micron.Green.
So like you said, if you want to get in contact with Krone, there's always the homepage, there's always Micron.Green. Of course, you can also call us directly, send an email, use the contact form on the homepage. So all these digital ways are available, of course, but we also do field demonstration. We couldn't do over the last years, but hopefully we will be able to do it again this summer. And of course, we are available on basically all the important agricultural fairs that will hopefully start again this year as well.
Mm-hmm. So
yes, so for example, large ones like the ZIMA, like the Agritechnica, but there are also smaller ones all over the world. We are also available there, sometimes with the people directly from Spelle, sometimes with the people, the salespeople directly in the fields. So there's you can contact us via social media. Yeah, so there are many ways to get in contact with Krone, and we're always happy to get in contact with the dealers, with the farmers, with the customers, because we would like to know what they think. We would like to know to get their opinions on stuff, because it's the best way to figure out where we as a company should go in the future.
Okay, last question. Stefan, what is your company future ambition to wrap up this podcast?
So the ambition of our company for the next years would be, how can we if you take a look where we came from, how can we close the last gaps that we might have in the product portfolio? How can we build the machines in our product range that no one else can think about? So how can we make sure everyone else can just be with a front mower that's 3 meters wide, because you can't be more than 3 meters wide on the street. How can we make sure that we be 4 meters wide in the field and only 3 meters wide on the street? Just by adding some type of mower bar that can just fold out. Or maybe how can we still make sure that we have the most powerful forage harvester in the world, even though our competitors are way bigger companies than we are. So how can we, as a smaller family-owned operation, stay the speedboat that's just faster and more agile than these large international conglomerates like Class, like John Deere, like CNH? So how can we are family-owned, if the family corner says this is where we want to go, then we can do that. And this just gives us the opportunity to create these new types of machinery like we did in the past. For example, with the Ultima, with the Spadro 2000. And this would basically the way to continue our path in the future, just to build the machinery that in the end enables the farmer and the contractor to make the lives of their cows happier and all over better. Because in the end, our final customer, if you want to think about it like that, are the cows.
Yeah, true. Forage, right?
Yeah, it's all about forage in the end.
Cows happy, farmers happy as well.
Yeah, if the cows happy and the farmers are happy, then the contractors are happy, then the dealers are happy, then we can be happy.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Stefano. Stefan, it's really interesting talk with Krone, with you and Stephanie. Stephanie's here, guys. So yeah, if you have some more question or if you are interested more about Krone, probably you can also reach them out through their social media. And if you are also the users of Krone, you can also always keep in touch with them with the apps that they have. I believe they will like give the best customer service to you all. So thank you once more. And I think that's all for Smart Farming with Krone today. And I will see you in other episodes. Thank you. Bye-bye. This recording was conducted in Bonn during ICIA activity. And we'd like to thank Krone for supporting our activity in Bonn. And thank you for having this talk. This podcast is edited by me, Willa, promoted by Yurika and her teams, and supported by Wageningen University. Keep on tuning the ES podcast for other interesting stories all around the world. And we'll see you next week. Bye!
You can't build peace on empty stomachs.
Let's bring one and one together. I watch the world from your point of view.